Let's pray. Father, you bless my words. Thank you for our precious time that we have as we look into the baptism of Jesus. Amen. So I invite you, whilst we're with the theme of baptism, to remember your own, if you can. If you were an adult or a young person, you will remember. If you were a baby when you were baptised, you might not. I was only 2 months old when I was baptised, so I don't remember it. But for those of us who don't remember, let's be thoughtful about who it was that was holding us in their arms as they took us for baptism, or taking us by the hand. And let's be thoughtful about what it meant to them, or if as an adult, what it meant to us to be baptised. Just be a little thoughtful about that. Baptism means a lot, and some of what it means is quite mysterious, and we may find ourselves quite thankful for the sacrament of baptism today as we think about it. I'm going to read to you the prayer, the introduction to the baptism service that we read every time we baptize somebody, and it says this: Our Lord Jesus Christ has told us that to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must be born again of water and the Spirit, and has given us baptism as a sign and seal of this new birth. Here, we are washed by the Holy Spirit and made clean. Here, we are clothed with Christ, dying to sin, that we may live his risen life. As children of God, we have a new dignity, and God calls us to fullness of life. Beautiful, beautiful words. Every time I'm going to baptize a baby or a little one, I ask the parents what their meaning is, why they've come, what they want for their child. And I've never forgotten the policeman who I asked that question of him as he brought his baby son for baptism. And he said, in my life, in my working life, I see darkness every day. I want my son to have light in his life and to be protected from darkness. And I'm really with that meaning, thinking that's definitely part of the layers of meaning that there are in baptism, so I'm thankful for his words. Baptism is about belonging in God, belonging to God, belonging with his family, and belonging in Christ, being one with Christ. So there are layers to it that are quite tender, transcendent, and sacramental. And even if we don't remember our baptism, and even if anyone ever forgets their baptism or thinks it doesn't matter, God never forgets. He never forgets a covenant that he's entered into with anyone. And those words that we heard from Isaiah really sum up how God feels in relation to any covenant or promise that he makes. He says, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. You are precious in my sight, and I love you. I've redeemed you, summoned you. You're precious, you're mine, and I love you. And that stands for all time. Jesus, on this day, from our gospel narrative, he was approaching his own baptism, and I'm thoughtful. I want to encourage us all to be thoughtful about what it meant to him. Because John was calling people to a baptism of repentance, but Jesus had done no wrong, so he didn't need to repent of anything. And so it must mean something else for him. And that's what I'm wondering about, encouraging you to wonder about as well. John said, his winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. But Jesus didn't need that. He was pure wheat. There was no chaff in him. So he chose baptism for other reasons. And these are the ones that I think I've got a hold of. There are four. And the first is that he wanted to be one of us. Our sin, not his, was what he took upon himself when he went to the cross. And this baptism was the beginning of his journey to get there. And so when he went down into the water, he took upon himself the sins of the world and carried them that day forward and onwards to the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For our sake he became sin who knew no sin." Secondly, so that we can be one with him. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. "And all of you who've been united with Christ in baptism have clothed yourself with Christ." He allows us to stand in him, to be clothed around the edges of ourselves by him, so that when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. That's the mystery of baptism. Thirdly, to set an example for us. As Barbara Brown Taylor says, "It has never been Jesus' style to shout directions to us from a safe place of his own. He has always led from within our midst, joining us in the water, in the mud, in the skin, to show us how it is done. Not from a distance, but right by us, right with us, right in us." That was his way. It is his way still. And fourthly, to commit himself to faithful obedience to the call on his life. And from that day forward, whatever he'd known about before, as he perhaps through his life slowly realised that he was more than human as well as human, and that the godly call on his life was that he was God living out a human life, and that this was the thing. He'd come to give his life away for us. So he committed himself on this day, I believe, to treading that path faithfully, courageously, and with all the frailty and vulnerability of a human, as well as the godliness that was his also. So here are the layers of it. Now picture the scene of it. I invite you to the shores of the Jordan River. And if you've been there, you might be able to recall it. You can see it in your mind. And I can, because I have been there. And when I was there, many people were waiting to be baptized there, and they were wearing white robes. And I was there with a group of other pilgrims, and we had the opportunity to affirm our baptismal promises and to be signed with the sign of the cross, to remember our promises and commit ourselves again. And the thing about the Jordan River is that it's a muddy river. It's a dirty one. And you can't go in with your white robes on and come out looking clean. It just doesn't work that way. And so I'm back there with Jesus, and he was mingling with the crowd. That's what Jesus very often did. He didn't set himself apart. He didn't get first in line. He didn't stand above anyone else. He stood in line waiting for his turn to be baptized by his cousin. In humility and into the dirty water he went. And I am with what it might have been like for him as he went down into the water. And I feel like he might have felt the weight of us on his shoulders because he went down for us. Our sin, the sins of the world that he was going to carry with him to the cross. It's a heavy weight to carry, and he went down with it. That's what I feel in myself. And then he came up out into the light and into something glorious, which was enveloped in his in prayer. He came up praying, and from heaven there was the prayerful communion of the Father with him. And heaven was opened at that moment, and in bodily form of a dove, the Holy Spirit came down upon him. And in Mark's gospel, it isn't just an opening of heaven, it is a tearing open of heaven, like it was ripped and the dove flew down. And I really love that. It reminds me of the temple being torn in two on the day that Jesus died, letting people into the place where they'd been forbidden to go before, and the glory came out. It's just so beautiful. Not only that, but the voice of the Father from heaven and the voice of God saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And there are only three times when God speaks from heaven in the life of Jesus that are recorded in the Gospels. This is one of them. The other two are when there was the transfiguration on the mountain, and the third one is just before the crucifixion, when Jesus needs God to encourage and the Father to encourage him on his way. So it is an amazing, transcendent picture, the scene, if we're in it, in our imagination right now. The Trinity in perfect unity. Jesus the Son, aligned with us, one of us, with us, going into the water. The Father so thrilled with his Son, and the Holy Spirit descending. It's just beautiful. That's the word, and it doesn't get near it, really. And so, as we are at that scene, I wonder what it is like for us, what we now understand better about our own baptism and our own journey of faith. What does it mean? Can we, like Jesus, enter into whatever God has in store for us? Say yes to the commission that's ours, as Jesus said yes to the commission that was his. Bearing in mind that very often what God seems to invite us into is bigger than we think we can do, more than we think we can handle, further than we think we can stretch. Can we say yes because he's going to give us the Holy Spirit to enable us? And it's not about what we can do, it's about what he can do. And maybe we are, at the beginning of this year, invited into a realigning of ourselves with an urgent invitation from him to orientate our values, our habits, our relationships, our prayer life, our thinking, and our behaviour with Jesus, more and more like him. And if that's the case, then here's the wonder that we will hear is this: the Father saying to us, "I love you. You're mine. You're my daughter. You're my son. And I'm so pleased with you. And I love you. Oh, I love you so very, very much." And as I say that, I feel it. And as I walk it, I know it. And as Jesus walked away from his baptism, he walked straight out into the wilderness for 40 days of silence in the company of the Father, enabled by the Spirit. As it happens, tomorrow I am going to go for 6 days of silence. It's only a little compared with 40, but I know that my soul is thirsty for the presence and the voice of God and to be close to him. So that's what I'm going to do. But the thing is, there's an invitation to all in this diocese this year. It's the year of spiritual well-being in the St. Albans Diocese. And there are retreats and there are quiet days and there are ways of engaging with spiritual well-being that are an invitation to all of us. So in next week's pew sheet, there'll be details of that and on the website too. Do say yes to Jesus. If he is inviting you into anything, if you can find it in your heart to say, yes, please, I'll have that, do it. This is the year. I wonder what this catches in you. And whatever it catches, I want to bless the spark, the spirit who is alive in you today. So let us pray as I finish my words. And I invite you to just open your heart, your mind to the Spirit of God, who is hovering, ready to alight on each of us as he alighted on Jesus back then. Father God, we're your people. We don't know what the year ahead has in store for us, but we do know that we want to follow Jesus and be more like him. And we pray that you will enable us to open our hearts and our minds and say yes, more of you, more of your spirit, more of your life, more of your truth, more of yourself in us. Yes, please. In the name of Jesus, we pray.